Hi.
This is Linda Rex with Our Life in the Trinity. Welcome. We're entering the season of Epiphany, and we are going to begin our discussion today with the baptism of the Lord. Our passage is Matthew 3:13-17, which I'll read in the New American Standard Bible. We'll have a brief prayer. We'll talk about our topic for today, and then we're going to have communion together and then close with the benediction. So you have some idea where we're going to go with this. And so let's begin with our passage in Matthew 3:13-17. It says, "Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' But Jesus, answering, said to him, 'Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Let's pray for a moment, and we'll talk about the beloved of the Father. Abba, thank you so much that you're our Heavenly Father, our Daddy. And you have become our Daddy because of Christ, who is your Son and always has been your Son. And we thank you that today we can think about what it means that he was baptized. And why is that important? Speak to us, make Christ even more real to us in this time together through Jesus and your Spirit. Amen. So in December or so, we went through the season of Advent. And in Advent, we prepared ourselves for God's entering in the person of Jesus Christ. And in Christmas, and there's a short Christmas season between Christmas and Epiphany, 12 days of Christmas, where we talk about God's love for us in Christ in the incarnation, that God comes in the person of Jesus Christ, takes on our human flesh as a little infant, and lives a truly human life in our place on our behalf. And this is where we begin to learn about the concept of place sharing. Now, in America today, we tend to be very individualistic, and it takes something for us to think about the possibility of sitting in someone else's place or taking their place or sharing their place. But place sharing is who Jesus is. He actually comes to stand in our place as the representative human for us. During Epiphany, we think about and talk about who Jesus really is. The fact that this is God in human flesh. This is the King of the Kingdom. This is the Lord of all. This is someone who is just like us, though, at the same time. How is that possible? But we see Jesus taking on our human flesh to live a life like ours as a baby, as a young child, a toddler. We learned about, you know, what happened when he had to flee with his parents to Egypt, and then they moved later on when he was a young man to Galilee, to Nazareth, and he grows up there. And then we learn about him going to the temple when he's 12 and blowing everyone's minds there because of his ability to answer questions and so on. But he's very human. And in his humanity, we find him entering into other people's human experiences and meeting them there to bring them into a new place. Now, one of the things Jesus does is he is baptized. Baptism, he did this not for himself. Because, see, you hear in this story, John the Baptizer says to Jesus, you don't need to be baptized. Well, see, John had been called by God, told by the Father, call my people to be baptized for the remission of sins. But Jesus, as we read elsewhere in Scripture, didn't have any sins. And John seemed to know this, that he wasn't one of the ones that needed baptized. But Jesus did it. Why? You know, John was being obedient to the Father's call on him, and he was calling others to be baptized for the remission of sins. And Jesus, the sinless Son of God, never disobeyed his Father, did he? He comes and he's baptized in our place. He comes to be baptized as we're baptized, to share in our baptism so that we could share in his baptism. Isn't that interesting? He repents in the sense as we need to repent. He's baptized in the way we need to be baptized. It was in many ways, and receives the Spirit, in fact, for his mission and ministry, just like we are to receive the Spirit also. And so we find that Jesus is entering into the fullness of the human experience and saying, I'm going to be here in you and you're going to be in me. And we're going to do this together. And can you imagine the Father, our Heavenly Father's thought, his heart, as he sees his Son willingly, voluntarily, offering himself as the representative human in our place, on our behalf, being baptized, being immersed. And he immerses all of us, in a sense, in his obedience, in his baptism. And he did this even knowing the consequence would be that we would crucify him. He did not let that keep him from offering himself in our place on our behalf. He was willing to share our place fully. John himself had a role to play in all this. God had called him to be a witness bearer to the Messiah. John was told that the one who received the Holy Spirit as a dove lighting on him, or whatever you want, it's a picture, in a reality at the same time, John was the one who was called by God to bear witness to the reality that the Jesus Christ was the one anointed for mission and ministry by the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit comes upon him as a dove. You know, as Jesus goes on from here and John continues in his ministry, John hears all kinds of stories about what Jesus was doing. There were miracles. He was teaching people. John was experiencing the pushback from the Roman government as he was speaking life, speaking truth. And the reality, though, was at one point he ends up in jail. He ends up in trouble. But Jesus goes on with his ministry and his mission, and John had to come to terms with that. Why was Jesus here? Was he really the Messiah? But he knew what he had seen that day, that Jesus was the one who would be baptizing others with the Holy Spirit, just as he had received the Spirit for mission and ministry at that moment. So, when John looked at Jesus, what was Jesus doing? Later, as Jesus goes on in his mission and ministry, we see him constantly scandalizing the religious elite by doing things that they didn't think he should be doing. but which were what is holy, right, and good, which was his mission and ministry, right? We see Jesus hobnobbing with prostitutes and tax collectors, people that were considered untouchable. He was a part of their life. He was friends with the fishermen, with down-to-earth people, tax collectors, and other people. People from all walks of life. He touched dead people and leprous people when that was considered unclean. He healed the sick. He comforted the grieving. He offered grace to the shamed and rejected. He called them up to a new life. He embraced people and shared life with people, eating with them, drinking with them, going to weddings. We see him going fishing. We see him doing all kinds of things with people without respect to their personhood or position. He was loving people where they were to bring them to where he was. We find him lifting up people to a new way of being. Giving them challenges, giving them healing. We see the man in the Gerasenes who had been running around in the tombs out of his mind, possessed by demons. And next thing you know, he is sitting next to Jesus in his right mind, well and whole. And this is what Jesus was doing over and over. He would go where people were to bring them where they needed to be with him. So, what about the whole thing of place sharing? Isn't that important? Well, place sharing, like I said, is who Jesus was. I mean, it's what he did, but it was who he was. He was the God who came to be here with us, to share this space with us. Now, when we read the book of Acts, we find that these witnesses to Jesus' place sharing, the disciples and so on, they did place sharing too, didn't they? We find, for example, Philip, it was called by the Spirit to go walk along this road. He goes along this road, and here is this gentleman in some sort of conveyance, and he's reading the book about Isaiah. And Philip simply joins him there and says, do you understand what you're reading? And then it started a conversation which ended in this man being baptized. But we see little vignettes of this thing where, you know, James and John going to the temple, and someone stops him and says, you know, alms for the poor. And they say, silver and gold we don't have, but what we have we give you. Rise in the name of Jesus Christ. And so you find them meeting people in every stage of life and drawing them up into the life God has in mind for them. It brings to mind this question for us today. You know, where might it be that Jesus wants us to join with him in touching the life of another person? Where is it he might want us to enter in and become a part of someone else's journey? Now, not every journey is the one he wants us to be a part of. You know, Philip didn't join every person who was on the road, just the one the Spirit told him to go join, right? So we need to be in tune with what God is doing and how he wants us to join in. How is it we might be able to share in what another person is going through? Offering them God's grace, compassion, love in the midst of whatever they're going through, their suffering, their need, their joy, their sorrow, whatever it is. The reality is, because of Christ, what he's done, because of his baptism, in which we were immersed in his baptism, we shared in his receiving of the Spirit for mission and ministry. What do we do here? We first of all consider the reality that maybe we want to be a part of and participate in Christ's death and resurrection through baptism ourselves. We go and we are baptized in Christ's baptism. It's a Jesus immerses us in the Holy Spirit. He gives us the Spirit and unites us with the Father and himself in the Spirit, makes us one because of who he is and what he's done. And so because of that, when we realize this is the reality of our life is in Christ, we are baptized ourselves. We acknowledge that we die with Christ, we rose with Christ. We share in his glory by the Spirit. It's his life in us that matters. So that's one of the ways we express that we are immersed in Christ's baptism in his death and resurrection. Another way we do that is through communion. And we take that regularly, the bread and the wine or grape juice for some churches. We take that regularly. It's a way of saying we are participating in Jesus' death and resurrection, and we are participants in the body of Christ. Who's the body of Christ? That's the church. And that is why we join, and often through baptism, but when we are baptized, we're baptized into the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we become a part of a local expression of the body of Christ, which is the church, the overall church, right? We become part of a local church where we can worship with others, take communion with others, and participate with them in place sharing in our community. In other words, with other brothers and sisters sharing their life and sharing the community where we live and go to church. And so this is part of our life in Christ. Now, it may be a little bit of a struggle to find where we want to participate with God in worship and praise and in service to others. But if we follow God's lead, his direction and guidance by the Spirit, we listen to the Word, we will find that spiritual home where he wants us to be, where we can grow up in Christ, be nurtured, be encouraged, and nurture, encourage, and help others. And we actively participate in the body of Christ, whether as a whole or in an individual church setting. We do that in caring for others wherever we are through place sharing. The way Christ did, Christ enters into our world, takes on our flesh, lives a life genuinely like we do, to die and rise again and carry us into intimate relationship with the Father and the Spirit. In the same way, we enter into where other people are to share life with them and to bring them, to include them or help them see they're included in the life we have with the Father and Son and the Spirit. It's our life in Christ we want others to participate in. So today, before we finish up, I would love to have us take communion together and to be reminded that as we take the elements each week, Christ is our life. He came to live our life and die our death and rise again and to unite us with the Father and himself in the Spirit, to make us one. We don't have to be alone ever again. Christ has come, and he's given us his Spirit, and he lives in us by the Spirit. We receive that. We open ourselves to that. We obey what Jesus wants us to do. And we're reminded of that as, again, anew as we take communion. So, we like here at Our Life in the Trinity, I like to affirm the essentials of our faith, which is we died with Christ, we rose with Christ, we share in his glory both now and forever. Join me for a moment of prayer, if you would, and then we'll take the elements together. Father, we offer up this bread and this wine to you with gratitude for every good gift you give, most especially the gift of your Son and your Spirit. We receive your gift of life that you have given us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus offered both bread and wine, and he offered it as a means of remembrance. We remember what Christ has done. The body of Christ, Jesus offers himself, his flesh for us. And Jesus offers pouring out of himself on the cross, the shed blood. We thank you, Jesus, for offering this. Now may the God of glory, who sits as King forever, whose voice is powerful and majestic, give you strength and bless you with peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, God bless you. I just hope you have a great week and hope to see you again. Come back to see us at Our Life in the Trinity. God bless you.